For generations, people in Lansing have described their town with three C's: cars, capital, and campus. And if you're talking about the first C, you're talking about General Motors. GM took a lot of the brunt of the Great Recession a few years ago. The company filed for Chapter 11 in 2009 and received a massive federal bailout. But GM was determined to shed its temporary, derogatory nickname, Government Motors. Here in Lansing, the car maker spent $190 million to create a second shift of 600 employees to produce the Cadillac ATS. That investment paid off this year when the ATS was named the North American Car of the Year. Now, General Motors is preparing to break ground on a new 400,000-square-foot logistics center at its Grand River Assembly Plant. Earlier today, I spoke with GM Lansing Regional Plant Manager Tony Francavilla. I first offered congratulations on GM's June sales, which were up 6% over June 2012.
Well, we're really happy to see the sales numbers, but obviously for us in Lansing, at the Lansing Grand River plant, we're really focusing in on the sales of the Cadillac brand, and that's gone up 38% year over year. And our ATS that we build here locally is a big part of that increase, so we're really excited to see those numbers.
GM Lansing will break ground on a new 400,000 square foot logistics center at Grand River this summer. Has that date been set?
We've started to work on the preliminary engineering activity already, and we're still planning to have that in place sometime late next year is when it's going to be operational. And the whole intent of the LOC is really to minimize the amount of logistics expenditures or transportation we have of our products that we use frequently in our manufacturing operations. So we're going to be bringing all that sub-assembly area just next to the plant. So it's going to save us big bucks. More importantly, it's going to create 200 jobs here locally, which is another shot in the arm to the community.
And logistics is just that. It's moving all of the components involved in the assembly of a vehicle and getting them where they need to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. It looks at, you know, bulky components, instead of having them subassembled 5 miles or 10 miles or 50 miles away from the plant, by doing it next door to the plant, which is where the logistics center is going to be. It's right on our property adjacent to the assembly building. We'll be able to just cart the stuff over as we need it, and we'll save. It's a green thing to do, and it saves us money and improves the quality of the operation.
Yeah. Take us inside this logistics center. Do we see stuff being moved about then? Is that really the heart of this?
Well, you have stuff coming in to the facility. There's a receiving area. There'll be in some cases, you'll have sequencing, repackaging, re-kitting, so they're able to be brought line side. If you think of an assembly plant nowadays, I mean, an assembly plant is a rather compressed area where you put the vehicle together. You look at an assembly plant today, we will be building up to 7 different models on our assembly line in the next couple of years. When you look at that, if you don't have the ability to bring the parts or repackage them into smaller containers, sequence the parts that are like bulky so that we can put them in the right car at the right time, then you need a huge assembly plant, which adds to the cost, adds to the inefficiencies of moving, you know, of people walking up and down the line trying to pick parts. So the whole point of this is just to reduce the amount of non-value added activity we have both at the operator station where they're putting the parts on the car, but also minimize the amount of shuffling around of material in racks and containers. So again, this is a very green activity that makes its way to the bottom line in terms of improved quality and improved cost.
Some of this activity, we can assume, is also to prepare for the assembly of the Chevy Camaro, possibly in 2015, moving production out of Ontario and to Michigan. Here's Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero referring to that earlier this year.
See this model car? You know what kind it is? It's a miniature Chevy Camaro. The Camaro is an American classic, one of the most iconic muscle cars in automotive history. And the next generation of this legendary vehicle is coming home. Home to America and right here to Lansing, Michigan.
What does it mean, Tony Francavilla, to Lansing to be able to bring this iconic brand, not just back to the United States, but to Lansing?
Obviously, the whole community, as you heard from Mayor Virge Bernero and City Council, I mean, they've been extremely supportive with the LLC we just talked about. They've been extremely supportive of all of our previous expansion plans. And this is really a huge boost to the plan and to the community. However, I have to clarify that at this point, the date of the next gen Camaro, when it will be introduced here, has not been finalized yet. So it could be a 16, could be a 17 model. Nothing has been determined at this point.
And they'll make that in Oshawa, Canada until that time.
Absolutely. The current generation will be built in Oshawa until the next gen is introduced at our facility.
You referred to the next generation CTS. That is a flagship brand for Cadillac. What's that all about? That's about updating it in a way that maintains its appeal.
Absolutely. I mean, from its inception, the CTS has been really an indication of Cadillac's new direction. And the CTS in its own right has been very successful in the marketplace in terms of reestablishing Cadillac. To that, we added the ATS, which we all know about, was a car of the year here in North America this past year. And we're building on the legacy of the ATS with the next generation CTS. It follows kind of similar engineering characteristics. The vehicle is lower, it's longer, it's leaner. It has we've incorporated into it many lightweight, energy saving technologies that make the car extremely competitive from a weight, performance standpoint. So we're really proud of that. I'm actually driving one. I drove one here this morning, and I'm really, really excited about the new Gen CTS. It's really getting a lot of positive reviews in the media, and the whole plant is really excited about being able to start building that vehicle for the public later this year.
From your perspective, how do you feel about this phase the company is in now, where it's moving away from the support, the largesse of the federal government?
Well, I think it's good when the government is out of the general business area. I mean, that's not their place. We really appreciate what was done to help get GM back on its feet. Obviously, those were very dark days for the company and really the whole country. But really, the government showed faith in the people, and the people of General Motors. And we've proven as a company and as employees that was a well-founded support. And, even you look at how we're doing in the marketplace, it really shows that we were too good to fail, I guess.
You've been with GM for years and all over the place, England, Poland, Canada, the United States. I have to ask you, where were you in 2009 when the company declared bankruptcy? I hate to bring up an unpleasant memory, but I've got to know where you were and what the impact of that bankruptcy declaration was.
Well, I was working in Poland at the time, and in Gliwice, there's a very good assembly plant there, modeled after Lansing Grand River. It's a very one of the best assembly plants in the world, and obviously the workforce at the time there was concerned, as was I, because we didn't know what was going to happen. But definitely, we stuck to what we knew was best, which is what we did here in America, and we did also around the world. We focused on designing and building great vehicles, and then we knew that, we'd come back.
Was it regarded as a U.S. problem, though, or did you feel like the Polish workforce owned some of that?
It affected, if you were a GM employee, it doesn't matter where you were in the world, you were concerned because you don't know what was going to happen. At that time in Europe, there was talk of the European operations being sold off, so that was a concern to the Polish workforce. But again, what we did as a leadership team, both management and union, was to get everybody in the plant to focus on building great quality vehicles. And we knew if we did that, sooner or later, our time would come.
What is GM's footprint in the community with regard to donations, foundation support, that kind of thing? And full disclosure here, WKAR's Ready to Learn program is a recipient of a $3,000 GM grant. Lots of organizations in the community are.
Absolutely. I guess if you look at our workforce, they donate to the community in so many ways. But I'll start with, the Capital Area United Way. When you look at that, the plant each year donates, well over $400,000 from, their payroll deductions. And that helps many, many communities. But on top of that, we support the American Cancer Society. We support Girls and Boys Club of Lansing, the Waldemar Nature Institute. I mean, we do all sorts of work in the community. I mean, in our
Common Ground, too.
Yes, Common Ground, yes, Common Ground, too. And the July the 4th fireworks, we were part of that, too. So you can imagine, we feel like, the community is really important to us. I mean, we need a strong community to have a strong workforce, which allows us to be the leaders that we are in the manufacturing environment. So whenever we can give back to the community and help support these activities, we're really proud of these initiatives.
Tony Francavilla is the regional plant manager for General Motors here in Lansing. Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.